All right, don't freak out or anything. I don't normally preach from a podium up here. We're continuing our sermon series on the pillars of the church, of Christ's Unveiled Church. We've been talking for 2 weeks, and we're now on week three. And the pillar that I want to talk to you this morning is a congregation that boldly steps out in faith. Can you say that with me this morning? A congregation that boldly steps out in faith. And I must tell you that I had every intention of preaching this morning on the story of Peter and John who went out and healed this man, one of the first miracles recorded in the book of Acts by the apostles. But sometimes God gives you things else that he wants you to preach on, and so I'm going to change it up this morning. I'm preaching on something totally different, so bear with me. I thought for just grins and giggles, we would go to the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. This is beginning at verse 54. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. Now what is happening is that Stephen has just given his testimony about Jesus Christ, and all the leadership, the church leadership, the Jewish leadership, were very upset at Stephen, and so they're grinding the teeth at him. But he, Stephen, was full of the Holy Spirit, and he gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He's about to be stoned, and he looks up, and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they, these Pharisees, cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later becomes the Apostle Paul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We're talking about this pillar, a congregation that boldly steps out in faith. And the question I have for you this morning is, would you have enough faith? Would you be bold enough if by chance at the end of your life you are being crucified because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are being stoned or killed because of your faith, would you be able to look into the heavens and with joy on your face look up and say, "I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God"? And then as you breathe your last breath, would you be able to pray for those who are persecuting you? And if we are a church that's going to be boldly stepping out in faith, we have to ask ourselves, are we a congregation that would do that? Because I believe that the Christian church is going to start undergoing some persecution moving forward. We've already started to see some. There was a time when the Christian church was the dominant force in the United States. It is no longer. I don't know if you've realized that. If you live only here on worship on Sunday morning and you don't get out much, you might not realize this. But when we turned the 19th century into the 20th century, in 1900s, 85% of the people went to church on Sunday morning. But over the last 100 years, that has declined. Today, it's only 30% of people that go to church on Sunday morning. According to a November 29th, 2018 Patheos article that I read, 5,000 Christian churches are closing in the U.S. each year. How many? That's 10 a day. 5,000 churches. I think about my granddaughter, my beautiful, perfect granddaughter that lives in Chicago, and we've got a picture of her today. I should show it to you. And she goes to school. Well, she's 15 months old, so pretty soon she'll be starting to go to school. And when she goes to school, it is quite possible that the 20 people in her class, as she looks around, there may be 3, 4, 5 people in that class that have gone to church the previous Sunday. Think about that. I believe that the church is already under persecution. There's a guy that I respect so incredibly much. His name is Dr. Robert Newton, and he's one of the guys in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our denomination, and he was the district president. He just retired, and he gave a presentation, and he said, when there is a culture, there are two types of people in that culture. There's the insiders, and there's the outsiders. When you are an insider in the culture, you understand the language, you understand the culture, you understand the things that are important to culture, you understand all that stuff. When you are an outsider coming into culture, you have to learn all these things. You have to be very humble before culture will accept you. And for a long time, the Christian church has been the dominant part of culture. But as you see, as our numbers decline, as the church falls away from people worshiping on Sunday morning, and you know this as well as I do, we are becoming more of the outsiders than we are the insiders. Which means that our attitude and how we present ourselves has to change. It can't be the same way that we've done for the last 100 years or the last 1,500 years. And here's the scary thing. The outsiders, if they don't learn the culture, they get crucified by the culture. Think of the early church. Think of what they brought into the Holy Roman, or the Roman Empire at that point, this Roman Empire, and they were crucified, they were stoned, they were killed, they were put into the lion's den, they were brutally murdered because they were the outsiders. And whenever you are an outsider of a culture, the culture is very, very wary of you. They don't understand you. They're not sure that you're on the same team as they are, and they worry about it, and so they fight back. But God has called us, Christ Lutheran Vale Church, to be bold, both individually and as a church. He's called us to be like Stephen, that no matter what happens in our life, we can be bold as a church, and at the end of time, to look and say, I see Jesus. And to forgive those who are crucifying us. How do we get to that point? To answer that question, I want to go back to a previous chapter in Acts chapter 6. This is beginning in verse 1. And this is about the early church. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. All right, so here's the situation. The early church is happening. People would bring their belongings to the disciples. The disciples would hand out all this food. As the need arose, they would give out that need, and they would do it, but apparently they were doing it wrong. And this brings great comfort to me as a pastor. When I don't do things wrong, at least I can look and say, well, the apostles never got it right either. But the 12 gathered all the disciples together. This is the 12. They gathered all the disciples together, and they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And this proposal seemed good to the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. And they presented these men to the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. So they picked 7 men, and they picked Stephen. Now Stephen now has been ordained, and now it's his job to be involved in the distribution of food. Now, you would say, it's not that hard to distribute food. You just get the food and you distribute the food. It can't be that difficult. But let me tell you, sometimes it is. Because sometimes when you are distributing food, people all of a sudden appear that need food. And somehow you have to determine who should get food and who shouldn't get food and where you spend the effort of the community and where you don't spend the effort of the community, and you try to figure it out. And let me tell you something, it just starts to get messy. And it got really messy in the early church. And so they didn't do it right. They got these guys. And now Stephen is involved in the distribution. And he's finding out how messy it is. I'm on the board of the Shepherd's Canyon Retreat. This is an organization northwest of Wickenburg that is there for the healing, the spiritual healing of pastors. Because as you can see, as the society begins to change, the people that ends up being crucified a lot of times are these pastors. And so a lot of them are burnout, worn out, and they can't figure it out. And so they come to Shepherd's Canyon Retreat and they get healing, a week-long healing. And this is a great ministry that was started about 15 years ago by Dave and Barb Anderson, these people who are from the Arizona area. And they're not the most organized people in the world. And they know this. And we're trying to help them provide order and structure so that the retreat center works well. And it's just not, because it's not their spiritual gift. So when money's tight, instead of, trying to figure it out better, they just basically get on their knees and pray. And believe it or not, God, provides money. Just 2 weeks ago, they had a need for this particular building that they're going to build. It's just a small addition. And they prayed, and they got a big check in the mail for that building. You see, there's two ways to fight a battle. The one is to think that you can rely and do all the planning of yourself and make sure that because you do it so well, everything gets taken care of. And then there's a time like when you're distributing food in early Jerusalem and you just can't because the need is so great and it's so unorganized and there just seems to be coming out of the woodwork where the only thing you can do is pray and say, God, I just can't figure it out. But I don't have to figure out, you do it. And so Stephen does that. Stephen gets involved in the distribution of the food. And believe it or not, so does God. God gets involved. I think about our society today. When the society becomes mostly unchurched and ungrounded in the faith, all of a sudden, the society gets very anxious. I don't know if you know this, but our society, our American society, is very anxious right now. In August 2018, Barnes & Noble, who's the largest book retailer in the United States, announced a huge surge in the sales of books about anxiety. 25% jump in 2017. We have an anxious world out there. We're living in an anxious nation, the press release said. Suicide rates rose in all but one state between 1999 and 2016, with increases seen across age, gender, race, ethnicity, according to a report released by the Center of Disease Control. In more than half of the deaths of the 27 states, the people had no known mental health condition when they ended their life. In North Dakota, the rate jumped more than 57%. In the most recent period studied, the rate was highest in Montana at 29.2 per 100,000 residents, compared with a national average of 13.4 per 100,000 residents. See, this is what we're up against. This is what God's called us to be as a church, is to be a light and a shining hope to a world that so desperately is falling apart, because the only answer is Jesus Christ. The only answer is when people know that they are a child of the King with all rights and privileges thereof. And they have such a relationship and a grounding in that faith that they can't help but spread that to the world around them. And that's what God's called us to do. It is not the job of a certain number of people, a limited number of people. It is the job of the whole entire church to be there for the world around us. We are fighting a battle against the evil one. And here's the good news, though, is that they're not sending their best. Because I will take anyone with a strong faith against anyone else that doesn't have one anytime. Stephen was ordained to be part of this ministry of distributing the food. And so here in our church, we also have a ministry called the Stephen Ministry, named after this guy, Apostle Stephen, or Stephen. And basically what this ministry is that you learn how to interact with the world around you so that when hurting people are hurting, you can be tapped on the shoulder to meet with them, to listen with them, and to provide good news and healing to them. It is the most awesome ministry. We've been doing it now for 3 or 4 years here at Christ, maybe even longer at Christ Eastern Vale. And there is an information meeting today after the worship service. It's on the information board, but it's back here, I think, in one of the rooms. And you can learn about Stephen Ministry. And you can learn about it so that maybe you don't have to, you can go to the meeting and not even become a Stephen Minister, but you should learn about what the great work that Stephen Ministry does. So Stephen is there. And he's distributing the food and he's finding out that it is difficult. It's almost like the feeding of the 5,000, where the apostles say, how are we going to feed all these people? There's just too many of them. And Jesus says, well, you do it, you figure it out. And they prayed, and God multiplied all the resources tremendously so that they could feed the 5,000. And Stephen starts praying. And Stephen starts performing miracles. We continue on in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man of God's grace and power, listen to that, Stephen, a man of God, full of grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. He just started relying on God. God, you figure it out. And then God came through and he figured it out. And at his position in this ministry, he saw the miracle and the work that God was doing, and his faith was strengthened. And that's how he became a man of bold faith. He stepped out, was obedient to God, did the things that God called him to do, and God was faithful. You see, being a leadership is doing the work of the church, and Stephen began to see the miracles. His faith was strengthened. He saw firsthand the things that God was doing in the early church, and his strength increased. This is the time that God has called us. We just finished a capital campaign. We just voted to build this building. And the building is going to be great. I'm so excited about it. We finally get out of here. We move someplace else. But don't forget that it is not just about the building. It is about us as a congregation being faithful to God to let His kingdom come in this place and in this time. And I think we're going to start seeing some turmoil in our congregation. Things might change a little bit. Some of you may have noticed that I've been doing things a little bit different in our congregation. Well, that might change a little bit. It's going to be uncomfortable, and you may not like it. But remember, it's not necessarily just about us. It's about the world that God has called us to be present in. The thing is that we won't get it right. We never get it right. We're imperfect people. He's called us to a mission to go into a field. We have no idea what we're facing. We have no idea how in the world we're going to meet all the needs of the people around us with just our limited resources. But here's the wonderful good news, is that we don't have to get it right. Because He is the great God and King who has adopted us into His sonship, into His daughtership, so that we may be His children no matter how poorly we fail. And we might. But it doesn't mean that He has failed us. And we will certainly never, ever be outside of His grace, no matter what. It's what God's called us to do. We're not judged by how well we do everything, by how well we distribute the food, or how well organized we are. We've been adopted into the kingdom, and we are His precious child. And His warriors are now a power on earth that nobody, no power on earth can prevail against it. May we be a bold congregation that steps out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Responding to God's word, we receive our tithes and our offerings.